conversation. And he quotes, you know, Rashi quotes the famous Rabbi Yitzchak, that why did the Torah begin with Bereshis? And the answer is because, the famous answer, that if people say that listen to them, you have the right there to Israel. Nope, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, and he gave it to whomever he saw fit. Okay, that's the answer. Yeah, but this whole question, I mean, is very difficult. The Ramban elaborates on it, but even after you get finished with the Ramban, I still don't see the answer. Because the Ramban asks a question on that. He says like this. He says, which is correct, the Yesh Lishol. He says, well, the Yesh Lishol, boy, you ask a question. It's very important to begin the Torah with Bereshis Bara Elokim. Can you show us Emunah? This is the basis of our whole emunah. V'she'eino mamin bazeh v'choshev she'olam kadmon, a person that thinks that the universe coexisted with God, or that it was is who kofer biker. He's a kofer biker. Vein lo Torah klal. Okay, I mean Ramban is right. What kind of a question is this? How do we, our whole concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. I mean, the Navi, that's the sort of our Amunah. So what kind of a question did Rabbi Yitzchak ask? I mean, this is the sort of Kala Torah Kula. This is exactly where the Torah should begin. What is our idea of God? And it's the source of all existence. And Bereshis Bara Elokim Et Hashamayim Ve'Et Ha'aretz is extremely important. What kind of a question is this? So the Ramban goes on. He elaborates. He tries to answer the question. He says, "Vachuv Neshamasa Bereshis Sod Amok." Ain't no move on in the macros. You can't really, it's a deep sod and it can't be understood from the macros. Velo yivada burio, elo mipia kabbalah ad Moshe Rabbeinu, mipia gvura. The yodav chayavim lahastiroso, the ones who really have any real insight into Briyat Shemayim Ha'aretz, mochiv, to keep it a secret, to hide it. Lakach amar bitzchak she'im lahascholas ha'torah, tzarech bebereshis bara. Which is, what do you need this whole arichus for? He says, and then he goes on further. He says, all we need, the yaspik la'anshei ha-Torah, it's enough for the people of the Torah, biladei ma'ela. Without these, you don't need all these psukim on the whole seder ha-yitzira. It's enough to have one pasuk, like it says in Aseret HaDibros. So why does it have to be Torah Shebichsav? The Nosan Reb Yitzchak Kam Lozeh, Kizchila Tav Bereshis Bara Elokim, Nesiba Kolin, Etzir Abri Yisadim, Yishem Shilub Maisa Yadav, V'chol Shos Tachas Ragla, V'gan Eden, and he goes on, the Ramban goes on and on, he goes on with all the, everything that happens in Sefer Bereshis, and he says, Ein Roi, Shin Yirish, Mivcha Mekomas, I'm skipping a little bit, just get to the answer, V'l Yeshua, Vodav, Zera, Ovo, and Yitala, Marzas, Goyim, V'Omo, L'Umim, Yishu Bavur Yishmu Chukov Etarosa Vinsoru Kloma Shigirish Misham Mordov Vishkimbo Ovdov. Yes, so he says that the whole story shows about how God displaced different people, and he only puts people there that live according to his ways, and etc. etc. And then he goes on, he says,
proclaim a
Dvar HaChaim, and in that sense, you can call we can be called a Das. And that the Yahadus is a very definite addresses the question of how a person should spend his life. I mean, other religions also address this question, but of course they base it on their own imagination and false premises. But the thing that we find that's difficult over here is in Sefer Kehelis is that how could we have a Sefer that at one time is considered so bad that it should be banned, and on the other hand it is finally decided to be included in Kisvei Kodesh? And that's really there are two sources for that. One is in the Shas, where the Shas says, Bikshu, the Gemara in the Laman of the Beis and Shabbos, Bikshu Ligno Sefer Kehelis. It's an interesting thing. There are two sources for this. They give two different reasons. The source in our Shas is, Amar Rabbi Yudah Laman of the Beis and Shabbos. Amar Yudah Bereder of the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei the Rav, Bikshu Chachomim Ligno Sefer Kehelis. They wanted to hide it, to be gone as a Sefer, to put it away permanently. The nation dwarf Sochum says that because his words contradict each other. The Gemara goes into later what the contradictions are. When they mal logonzu, why didn't they really put it into Geniza? The nation chiloso divrei Torah v'sofa divrei Torah. Okay, chiloso divrei Torah. The chesiv ma'yitzum l'adam b'chol amol shi'amal tachas Hashemesh. Because the beginning is divrei Torah, because he's saying that there's no value in everything that a person does under the sun. But Kodim Shemesh Yeshlo, that if he engages in things that are under the Shemesh, in other words, if he spends his life in things that are physical nature, so then there is no benefit. But Kodim HaShemesh, things that preceded the universe, in other words, pure Chachma, then he has a benefit. And also the end also says Sof Davar Kol Nishma So Lekimi Revis Mitzvosu Shmar Kizek Kol Adam. So the end is also the Vitar. My Kizek Kol Adam Amar Rabbi Eliezer Kol Adam Kol Nivra El Bishvil Zeh. That the whole world was created only because of this. So he's telling you that you have to spend your life learning Torah, basically. Both psukim indicate the same thing that Torah tells you. In other words, you should spend your life in being Yirei Elokim and keeping his mitzvahs. So that's why they didn't throw it out, because of that. So, I mean, but the question is, if that's the case, I mean, so really, the Chazal really didn't answer the question either. Why? Because that you have already. So what do you need it for that for? In other words, if you're just going to keep the Sefer because it endorses what the Torah tells you, we don't need any endorsements. So what's the purpose of it? So you have a book that does nothing more but endorses what the Torah says, which is not necessary altogether. And it has problems in it because Dvar Sosum is there. So I don't understand what did Chazal decide over here. For an endorsement, you don't need it. And in between, you have steers. So it's no good. So the kasha still remains. So it's again no good. And interesting is there's another source is the Medrash. That's the and the Rambam quotes this Medrash in the Marne Vuchim. So it's you can be sure it's an authentic Medrash. The Medrash says differently. Bikshu lignos sefer kelis waim and they should dvarav notum etzad minus. Because a lot of his words are containing them ideas that seem to be apokrosis. Yeah, so the Rambam says, of course, the Rambam in the Motor Vachem says that many people made a mistake and they thought that that their psukim then indicate kadmus olam. This, of course, says absolutely false. It can't be that Shlomo Melech. If he held such a view, he says, why didn't the Chum argue with him, and why didn't they mention that what he's saying is Kenega Kola Tarakula, and how could it be the Shlomo Melech, the Chacham Mikolodim, didn't accept what Moshe Rabbeinu says and what Avraham Avinu said? It's not possible. So they're just shtus, and the Rambam says they're making a big mistake in what their idea of Kadmas Olam is. But that's a separate thing. But at any rate, the Rambam agrees that there are many things in there that are notum of divrei minos. That's the Medrash says, and the Rambam says that there's no question about it, that in the Sefer you do find things like that. So the question is, of course, I mean, how could you have such a Sefer to begin with, and what's the importance of the Sefer? If it's just to endorse what the Torah says, the Torah doesn't need any endorsement. And so obviously the reason why you're retaining it is because it has some value. And the truth of the matter is, it has some value. It's a tremendous limud. Now, if it's a tremendous limud, if you look at the Sefer Kehelas, you see that the Sefer Kehelas really gets down to the crux of what the real Melchemes HaChayim is. In other words, Mayisrun La'odam B'chol HaMolo She'yamal Tachas HaShemesh is really an analysis, an analysis of the human psyche. It really is, the subject matter is really human psychology. And the and basically, it would seem clear that that's what Chazal mean when they say, because Tchilasa Divitara Sava Divitara, means that, no, it's very important, really. Why? Because in the end, the conclusion is of the greatest importance, because he shows you through a psychological analysis of the human mind that this is really the most important thing for a person to do. So this is very important. This is great knowledge. See, that's really what Chazal means. Chazal means because in Sof Dovar Kol Nishma, what it teaches you is, in other words, if you just look at the Torah itself, it's true the Torah tells you what to do. But the Torah doesn't take up an important problem. And the important problems are taken up in Sefer Kehelas. I mean, you're talking about Shlomo Melech as the Chochmah Mikol Olam. So this is the greatest Chochmah, and he's showing you, on the contrary, why an analysis of the human psyche and the problems, the main problem that man has, Mayisrael Ma'odom B'chol HaMolo She'yamol Tachat HaShemesh, the main problem which man has is, it's very nice to tell a person, yes, just keep the mitzvahs and keep the Torah. That's very nice. But the fact is that a person will nevertheless be confronted with serious psychological problems, because a person can't just do something because you tell them that it's true. You have to do something working with your emotions and with your psyche, and an individual has such a kind of a psyche which is very difficult for a person to simply just negate it and just say, yeah, I'll do all the mitzvahs, I'll do kol ha-terakola. It sounds simple, but a person isn't simple, a person is very complex, and that's what Shlomo Melech really is all about. Gamas ha'olam nosan b'libam. Gamas ha'olam nosan means a person is filled with tremendous ambition, and he wants the entire world, and what does he do with all this energy? I mean, it's nice to say, yeah, just keep the Torah. But the fact is that a person has all this energy and all this ambition, and unless he really analyzes the nature of his ambition and is able to really understand himself and to see that everything is really just pure fantasy, and that the ambitious part of man is really worthless and leads him to, if he follows that kind of a path, it has to lead him to total frustration. And all the pleasures of, all the pleasures of life, which a person strives for, which he thinks are important, which his psyche tells him are important, are really just an illusion. I mean, that's the entire Sefer. The Sefer takes the ambition of man, and it shows him in many, many ways the breakdown of why that ambition has to lead to total frustration. So, and therefore, Sof Dovar Kol Nishma. That's what we said one time. What is the end? It sounds like what kind of a philosophical conclusion is that? Sof Dovar Kol Nishma. So, Kimi Ravin from Sof Shmar Kizek Olam. So, what do you need the whole Sefer for? But we explained once that what it means is that the truth of the matter is that he shows you that the most powerful force in man, which is human ambition, is really something which is rooted in complete fantasy, and if a person follows follows that path, he has to live a life of total frustration and anguish, and therefore the person cannot follow that part of his nature, because that part of his nature is based on fantasy and illusion. And therefore, there is really no satisfaction for that part of his nature. That's really what the answer is. Sov davar kol nishma selakim yoroves misvos v'shmo ki zeh kol ha'odom means that there is nothing really there. And the whole of man is simply to be found in a kind of a life where the individual is imbued with yiras elokim, and through following the mitzvahs, he's able to attain that good which is available to him, the only real good. But his striving for ambition can never be realized. And if he tries to realize them, he has to ultimately fail and ultimately wind up in a state of serious morbidity and unhappiness and frustration. So that's really what the Sefer is about, and that's what Chazal means. That's why they kept it, because the conclusion is extremely significant. It's really an analysis of the human psyche. So if that's the case, so the question is, so the difference. Let's just point out the difference between what the Torah tells you. So in other words, the Torah and Tehillos both have the same conclusion, but the Torah's conclusion comes from a different standpoint, and Tehillos' conclusion comes from another realm of knowledge. Just to make clear the lines between these two things, what are the lines that divide these two things? What are the two approaches really? What's the approach of the Torah? In what way does the Torah teach you what to do? And then Tehillos tells you the same thing, but it's two different tracks. See, the track of the Torah really is the same, and as we mentioned, is really the same as the Rambam mentions. Is really built on the same path as the philosophers, where the philosophers say that every enjoyment that a person experiences in this life only serves to take him away from the true enjoyment, and it is virtually impossible for a person, like the Rambam says in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Al Yoma Adam. He says a person shouldn't say that I'll be kona Torah and also I'll be kona in Perek Gimel Lachavav, Mishenasa Libo Lakayim Mitzvah Nuchas Talmud Torah. It's not possible. So the Rambam says that's really what the Yahadus, that's the philosophy of Yahadus. That's why Rabbi Nasi said that Golav Yigul Fanecha Shalom Nenesi Ke'etzpa Ketana Shalim in Olam Hazeh, which means to say that every enjoyment, and that's what Plato says, the great philosophers say the same thing, that every enjoyment that a person has serves to root an individual in the imaginary good of this world. Which means that insofar as a person's nature is such that it's not possible for him to partake of pleasure without a metaphysical repercussion, a dangerous metaphysical repercussion, which is that the moment the person engages in pleasure and it feels good, it immediately registers on his soul that this is the good. Because man always has an eye out for what the good is. And therefore, every physical pleasure that an individual partakes of necessarily has to corrupt the soul. It is virtually impossible otherwise, because the pleasure feels good, and when it feels good, a little voice inside his mind tells him this is the good. What it does is it attaches him to this thing, which he considers the good, in a way that the soul is attracted to it and can't pull back away from it. So therefore, it removes him. That's why it removes him from Chayei Olam Haba. Insofar as the person does not partake of that good, and he lives a Chayei Tzar, like the Rambam says, when he's B'Tzar, then he's in a situation where he could direct the energy to the real good. But the two energy satisfactions are in opposition, and you cannot have both. So insofar as a person partakes of this world and things feel good and he likes them, no matter what the particular physical pleasure might be, as long as it's a physical pleasure and it's not a pleasure of the mind, a pleasure of chachma, it has to take him away from the true enjoyment of chachma. And both both pull the soul in opposite directions. It's virtually impossible for an individual to engage in both. So therefore, like that, that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Deos explains that the Chacham only does things only insofar as is necessary, so that it's only a means that he can really enjoy the true good, and this is really the life of the real Chacham. He never gets caught in the objective of the physical. The physical does not have any objective. Whenever he never thinks, I'm going to enjoy this for the sake of the enjoyment. If he thinks that way, then he's away from the true life. If he partakes of the physical only as a means, but there's no objective in that pleasure. The objective in that pleasure is the objective of chachma, which he will place himself into after he finishes the enjoyment, then he's not corrupted. Then the soul is not corrupted. But insofar as the individual does partakes of a pleasure for its own sake, for the enjoyment and for the pleasure itself, that necessarily involves the corruption of the soul, because the individual has to be tied to it, rooted in it, and once he's, insofar as he's rooted in that, he is not rooted in the real good. So there is a complete dichotomy between the physical pleasures and the pleasure of chachma, of perceiving chachma Hashem. The two cannot coexist. Either a person is in one, or he's in the other. And that's why the true chacham really lives his life in a way that that any pleasure he partakes of is not a final station. In other words, that's not where he's parking himself. It's only in order to get on to the next station. But insofar as he does it for its own sake, and insofar as he's engaged in it because he really enjoys it, or he's looking for that pleasure for its own sake, that's how much he's removed from the true good. The two cannot coexist. That's why, that's exactly what the Rambam says, that's what the Rambam describes. V'chaye tzar techye. He says, Pas melech tocha mayim sura tishte v'alorat tishon v'chaye tzar techye v'torat amel. V'torat amel. Means to say that he cannot allow himself any kind of pleasure. Not only can he allow himself any kind of pleasure, but he has to be in a state of pain, because the individual searches for pleasure, that's his nature, and he must frustrate that pleasure, and the frustration of the pleasure has to be pain. And that's the only way the individual can possibly redirect and rechannel his energy towards the real good. That process, a painful process of removal from the physical enjoyments. And that's basically what the philosopher said as well. I mean, that's why they shun the pleasures, and they simply directed all their energies into the real good, because they knew that principle of the soul. And basically that principle of the soul, that the soul is a metaphysical entity, and therefore it has to draw conclusions. The activities of the soul necessitate conclusions, and you can't have an activity that's free from it. So insofar as pleasure ensues, the individual must register in his mind the idea that this is the good. Insofar as soon as that registers, that's it. Now the soul is corrupted. So therefore, that's really ultimately the system and the method and the approach of Torah itself. Yes.
This may be covering a little bit of old ground, but maybe useful to review it here. On the various times we're obliged to have simple related to physicality, and one thing is Shabbos or even matzah, for instance, you have an element. Is it a concept of because man, by his weak nature or physical nature, has these pleasures, he tries them to associate with certain higher concepts, but yet when a person enjoys his tonic Shabbos, he's enjoying the physical. Is there a danger in that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, no question about it. I mean, I gave a shiur on that. I believe the shiur on Onik Shabbos. That Onik Shabbos is not, the Gro says, that the Onik Shabbos, the Gro, but it's really Psukim. I mean, the Gro are just, focuses your attention on it. But it's clear that that Onik Shabbos is only a mitzvah insofar as the Tainug is tied to the idea of Oz Tisana Galad Hashem. I mean, that's really the Psukim of Onik Shabbos. Ultimately, is Oz Tisana Galad Hashem. But if a person just enjoys himself on Shabbos because he enjoys the Achil and Shia, then that's not even Onik Shabbos. That's his own pleasure.
Enjoying the physical pleasure, is it because he's still enjoying the pleasure per se, his pleasure, even though he's relating it to the concept of coming close to Hashem? Is there some part of his Nefesh HaBahami that's actually enjoying the physical pleasure there?
See, well, you want to know how it works?
Yeah.
I mean, the way it works is that if a person sits down to enjoy Shabbos and he recognizes that the only reason that he's enjoying Shabbos is to place himself in a state of mind that he recognizes and he can celebrate Brias HaOlam through this, and it ties him to the idea of the Yedias Hashem, that is Onik Shabbos. But if a person just looks at Shabbos like a break, all week he works, and now he can indulge in Achil HaShia and relaxation, that is not Onik Shabbos. But Yahadus does hold that it is possible for man to participate in an enjoyment which is tied to a higher objective. That Yahadus does hold is true. But that's only if the goal is thwarted. In other words, if it doesn't stop here, if it doesn't stop by the Achil HaShia, but it goes beyond into the real objective.
Really?
Yes.
When it's done as a means?
Yes.
So then even though there's a physical pleasure, it's not going to be corrupting?
That's correct. That's correct.
So he can do that as the good at the time where he's...
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That is a very unique idea in Yahadus. That Yahadus maintains that the corruption of the pleasure is not because the body partakes of the pleasure, but because the mind does. So Yahadus maintains that it's very possible. As a matter of fact, not only is it possible, but Yahadus maintains that it's a proper objective, that a person should be engaged in Onik Shabbos, and Onik Shabbos can raise a person to the highest level, provided the onig does not stop there. In other words, that the individual, while he's enjoying Shabbos, his objective is Oz Tisana Galad Hashem. Then there's no contradiction. You're right. That's a very unique idea in Yahadus. That Yahadus does not maintain that it is the physical pleasure that corrupts the soul, but it is the mind, the way the mind views the pleasure as an objective and as an end, that corrupts the soul. But if the mind does not view it as an end, but the mind views it as a means, then on the contrary, then it's a vehicle for an individual to really attain greater perfection. And that you find that's what Chazal mentioned, by the way. The Gemara mentions. Chazal mentions the same Gemara, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, that the Gemara says that there's a stira in Kehelas. Because on the one hand, he says L'simcha Maze Osa, Mazo Osa, and what does it mean L'simcha Maze Osa? It means that there's no benefit in it. You see. And then it says, the other pasuk says, v'shibachti nesa simcha. So the Gemara says, it's no real contradiction. Why? Because he says, v'shibachti nesa simcha, that's simcha shal mitzvah. Ulasumcha mazo oso zu sumcha she'enish al mitzvah. Okay? So it means to say that if a person just has a good time, that is ulasumcha mazo oso. That a good time is just frustration. Like Rashi mentions by Schok. Rashi says, Schok mama she'en daito she'en da sochek mi yusheves alav. It means to say that the person will never have any psychological satisfaction out of simcha itself. It has to leave the soul in a state of frustration. But when it says v'shibachti nefesh simcha, zu simcha shel mitzvah. So the Gemara says. L'lamecha she'en shechina shora lo mitoch atzlus v'lo mitoch atzlus v'lo mitoch schok v'lo mitoch kalas rosh v'lo mitoch sichor v'lo mitoch zvan betelem elo mitoch dvar simcha shel mitzvah she'nemar v'ata kachuli menagein v'hoya kenagein ha-menagein v'atahi olav yad ha-reshem. So the Nazim, they would use nigun in order to enter the state of Nehua. So Rashi says, why? He says, "Kuli minagen." Why is that a simcha shel mitzvah? Mitzvah he lahashros olav shechina, because that's a mitzvah, lahashros shechina. So Yahadus has already established itself a principle, a psychological as well as a philosophical principle, in the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, and as well over here, the same thing is true by Nevuah as well, which means to say that a person, there are two people that could listen to music. One person is listening to the music because he wants to enjoy the music. That's a simcha maza osa. The end of that individual is just a state of frustration. That's psychological frustration. He will enjoy it momentarily, but then as soon as he's finished, he's going to be in a state of frustration. But v'shibachti nes simcha means where really the individual's goal is ashra shechina. That is the goal, and that is the objective. To be in the state where his mind is open for Nevuah, and the nigun is just to get his emotions in line so that he could be in that state. So there, the nigun is not for its own sake, but it's just in order that all his faculties should be in a certain correct balance. And in that balance, he can partake of Nevuah. And that's really the same idea of Onik Shabbos. The idea of Onik Shabbos is that it's an important yisod, really, because you see, it says, Oz Tisana Galar Hashem. So Onik Shabbos leads to the real Onik. Oz Tisana Galar Hashem is the highest form of Onik. Shabbos is a very special day. I mean, the whole day of Shabbos is really almost like a person, like every individual, on their level, reaching out for a state of Nevuah, of us, the Sanag al Hashem. And so the certain perfection of human existence. Every Shabbos, an individual is confronted with that opportunity. But of course, it depends on how the individual uses it. If the oneg is an objective, the person had a rough week and now he's going to enjoy himself and relax with his family and enjoy a good challenge. I mean, then it's just like a ma'aseh behema. But if the individual looks at the oneg as a means and as an objective, and the goal doesn't stop there, but the goal really reaches out to a state of yedias Hashem and the celebration of ma'aseh bereishis. I mean, that's what we celebrate in ma'aseh bereishis, which is yedias Hashem on the highest level. So if that's his goal and the oneg is tied to that goal, then the objective of the pleasure is postponed and is projected onto a different realm. Then the individual soul is not corrupted. Because what Yahadus maintains is, it's not the physical pleasure that corrupts, but it's the mind of man that corrupts. Because the mind is seeking the good. So over here, the individual really has the enjoyment. And since his philosophical knowledge takes the pleasure and projects it into a different realm, then he will not be corrupted. That's a yisod in Yadus. I mean, that's the whole mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, basically. The whole Onik Shabbos contains with it a deep philosophy, but not just a deep philosophy, also a deep psychology. but it's tied together because you can't separate. So Yahadis doesn't separate psychology from philosophy. It's all the same basically, because it's really a study of the human soul, and you can't have one without the other. It's not possible. So that's really the approach of Torah. Now we have before Kehillah. Those ideas we have before Kehillah. Those ideas you have from Torah. You have the Nevi'im elaborated on. I mean, Onik Shabbos is elaborated by the Nevi'im, but it's in the Torah itself. I mean, that's the whole idea of the Kedusha Yom of Shabbos. The Nevi'im didn't invent it. They elaborated on it and brought it out more. So that's really the approach of Torah itself. The Torah itself is a completely philosophical work that teaches man what the good is, and where he should direct his energies, where he should channel his energies, and insofar as he channels them in the wrong direction, he cannot possibly partake of the real good and must of necessity lose. That's something which the philosophers knew and which Yahadis itself agrees with the conclusion of the great philosophers, that the real enjoyment for man is only the Yiras Hashem, and insofar Chachmas Hashem. And so far as he partakes of any other enjoyment, he has to of necessity lose. There's no possible way to have both. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, and straight through, I mean, it's really Kol HaTorah Kula, and all the Ma'amari Chazal that have to do with the same area. So that's really the approach of Yahadis. But I mean, it's a good point it's good that you focus on that point. I mean, it does not mean the pleasure of the goof itself corrupts the soul, but it's the mind of man and the way he views this pleasure that corrupts the soul. But that's really the message of Torah. So the message of Torah on the surface would seem to be, and not only on the surface, I mean, is complete. It would seem that that's the message of Torah itself, Torah, and it's the message really of great Chachamim that investigated these areas and came to the same conclusion, because God gave man a Tzelem Elokim, and through the Tzelem Elokim he can come to correct conclusions, and it's the Rambam repeats it many, many times in many places. You have in Hilchos Teshuva, he has it. In Hilchos Teshuva he says the same thing. He says, he says, Nichol Shuvah Perek Ches, Olach Avav, Shema Tekel Beinecha Tov Vazu, he's talking about Olam Abav, Etidna She'ein Schar Mitzvah Seyos Odom Sholem B'Darka Emes, Elo Lios Ochu V'Shosa Mecholos Tovos, Bo El Turos Noos, Lo Vesh Bigdei Sheish V'Rikma, Shochim Bo Alei Shein, and Mishtamish B'Klei Kesev V'Zov, Udvar Madonim Leilu, all the luxuries, all the things that the average person wants. K'moshim medamin elu ha'avoyim ha'tipshim ha'avilim ha'shtufim b'zimo. Avachachomim baladeya yedu. Shekol dvorim elu divrei avoy v'hevohim. All a waste of time. Vein bam teyelas. And there's no value in them whatsoever. No intrinsic value in any of these things. And he says, ain aguf misavolehem, only because it needs them in this world. But there's no real value in these things. I mean, that's the whole Rambam over here. Perek Ches Nichos Tshuva Loch Avav. That a person that has knowledge knows that this is all nonsense and a waste of time, and he will not put his energies into it. But all these things, the Rambam Nichos Deis, and where it mentions how a Chacham only eats, only Tzadik Ochel Asov HaNafsho, he eats because of his soul, he doesn't eat because of his guf, and all those things are all really the Derech HaTorah. And this is something that we have without Kehillos. You absolutely don't need Kehillos. This is the whole Rambam Perek. This is there's Perek Gimel Lacha Beis. It's all Chodim Sheyachavim Liba V'Chol Masav Kulam Leida As Hashem Baruch Hu Bulvad Only the Yeshivta of Akuma V'Dibora Kol Loma Zeh Adava Keita Tishi Yisav Yitna Yasam Malacha Lilchah Lo Yehdu Liba Likvayz Mamon Bulvad. And he goes on, etc., etc. But he says the whole purpose is that should not be that should that, that the enjoyment should not find its goal in the enjoyment itself. But it's only a means and a vehicle. And many, it's kula tar kula. Wherever you touch Torah, that idea is there. And that idea was there before Kehelis. You don't need Kehelis for it. Okay? So that being the case, the question is that yes?
If you're starting out, if you should use the enjoyment, as long as you use the enjoyment as a means to the intellectual, then...
No, you're not good.
Then why does the Rambam say you necessarily have to be in tzar in order to partake of the perfection of the intellectual?
That's correct. That's a good point. The Gro really addresses that problem. The Gro answers that question. Because the Gro says it like this. The Gro says that until a person gets on that track where his total enjoyment is Chachmas Hashem, he has got to go through Tzar. That's why when the Rambam says that Zui Darka Shel Torah Pas Melech Tocha V'Loret Tisha and V'Chayitza Tichya, you don't see that Chazal on the whole lived that way. So they didn't. I mean, certain individuals in certain times, you see that they took upon themselves such type things. But on the whole, you don't see that Chazal were ascetics. They weren't ascetics. That wasn't their lifestyle. So the Gro explains, what the Gro says is, that Ketzari Darka Shel Torah means in order to attain, until you get to that level, you've got to go through a very painful transition. And if you don't go through that very painful transition, you'll never get there. But once the individual has reached a level where his enjoyments are from Chachmas Hashem, then he doesn't have to go through any tzar anymore. But in order to get there, it's not possible to get there without that. And the reason is very simple. Because the nature of man is that he's rooted in the physical pleasures. And that's where all the energy goes naturally. So in order for him to reroute the energy, it is necessary for him to go through a very... converted his system that the energies are directed towards Chachmas Hashem. Now it's not necessary anymore just to torture himself. That's not what the Torah is. Then on the contrary, oh, it's the Son of God, Hashem. So that's really what the Gro answers that question. The Gro addresses a good question, and that is the correct answer. That there is a process that an individual has to go through, and there's no way out of that process. You can't skip it. If he tries to skip it, he'll never get there. But if he goes through the process, then he could reach a state of conversion where the energies are directed towards Chachmas Hashem. Then there's no need to just go cause himself to suffer. That's a Goyim have ideas like that. There's some benefit in pain. That's not what Yad HaSol is. On the contrary, what Yad HaSol is, Onik Shabbos is the model. That the enjoyments do not corrupt man. The Goyim they have these battles within themselves, so they go from Menakatza Lakatza. So especially the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they go Menakatza Lakatza. Because if you understand psychology, you understand why it is. And then they decide that the religious ones decide the good is pain. That's because they have no concept of Chachma. And that really, there's no, God doesn't want man, like the Rambam says, Kilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei Aguf. They think that God hates the goof, and therefore the important thing is to suffer and to go through a painful existence. But Yahadus is the Das HaEmes is on the contrary. That Oz Tesana Galat Hashem. It's not the physical that corrupts man, it's the mind of man. The way man gets caught in the danger zone from the physical. The physical can put a person in the danger zone. So he has to be careful and handle it properly. But once he goes through the process of change, then there's no necessity to just suffer and to cause himself torture. Okay, hold on a second. I'll be back in a minute. Yeah. So, hello?
Yeah. Yeah. Ready to continue.
Yeah. So, that's why you find also certain chachamim at certain times, they put themselves through painful states, like tainesim and sigufim. They did that for certain reasons because they wanted to perfect themselves, but not as an end goal, okay? Just a temporary thing. That's why the Rambam says you have to be very careful and you can't just try to imitate what chachamim do, because they're on their own schedule and they know their own soul and they know what they have to do for themselves in order to perfect themselves. But what they have to do for themselves to perfect themselves, not what you have to do. So a person has to be careful and not get caught in the trap of trying to imitate what chachamim do. They know what they're doing, and they're doing it for their own reason, and it's not your ASIC. But the objective, the general objective is clear. The general objective is to be in a state where the energies are directed towards Chochmas Hashem, and in that state, the individual, again, does not, there's no value in just having physical pain. Okay, any questions?
Ready?
Yeah. I'll find it for you. I don't remember, but it's a famous girl. It's correct. I mean, there's no question about it because the girl mentions it, but like I said, the girl just says something. It's like Bayonet Shabbos. He's just telling you something which is obviously true, because you see, the Rambam says that the Chai Tzar Tichy and all that. No one, none of the Chacham live like that. I mean, Chazal didn't live on the floor and Mayim, the Masurah Tishta, that's not the way they lived. So you have to understand. I mean, it's just the Gur just telling you what the truth is here. I mean, it's not like a drush or something. It's just, this is clear. It's clear to anybody who has a mind that that's correct. But anyways, yeah. So, okay. So, all right. I'll continue unless you have, anybody have any questions on this? Okay. So that really is the Derech HaTorah before Kehelas. So it would seem that that's enough. What do we need Kehelas for? Okay? And, I mean, Kehelas is Chochmas Shlomo HaMelech. There's a Chocham Kol Adam, the greatest thinker, the deepest philosopher. So he wrote works on philosophy, and apparently Eld is not enough. Apparently, Eld is something, you need something more of here. Otherwise, there's no purpose in writing it. But the truth of the matter is that what Kehelas wrote is very important, because while it is true what the 100% correct and accurate and seems all-encompassing, but there's one vacuum there. And the vacuum is that the human psyche has strivings and there's dynamics of the human psyche which you can't just talk away. In other words, it's true philosophically what we're saying, but in order to get there, it's not that simple. As a matter of fact, those who have some knowledge of the true philosophers may recall that one of the Alcibiades, I think it was, that was sitting at Socrates' feet, and Socrates was denouncing the Taivas and showed that the whole purpose of life is really Chachma. So Alcibiades used to say that I'm caught in a contradiction. He says, when I'm here by you, he says, I'm sitting by your feet, and you're going through all these arguments. He says, yeah, I'm convinced. There's no question about it. It's clear as day. He says, but then when I go back to the Senate, he says, and I'm in a different kind of a environment, he says, I lose it. It's gone. So what could I do? He asked Socrates, what could I do in order to always stay in the true world? I mean, how do I accomplish that? In other words, even after all the arguments, and even after I see the arguments are true, so the fact is that in front of Socrates' presence, he was very much, his mind was very much convinced, and the true good life was clear to him. But then when he left Socrates and he went to the Senate and he became involved in the whole political scene of Athens, he lost it, and suddenly all these arguments flew away. they say so. And Socrates' students, I think, also asked him that the same kind of question, where he showed them ideas that death is nothing to be afraid of, and the Hashoras HaNefesh, and really important, significant metaphysical concepts. So they also said to him, they said, yeah, it's true, but a person's emotions get him. It's one thing for the mind to recognize it, but what do you do with your emotions? So Socrates' answer was, let the charmer charm you. That you have to keep on going over the ideas. And if you keep on, if the ideas are always with you and they're always charming you, so then you'll always be in your soul will always be in the correct, in the proper state, in the proper condition. That was Socrates' answer. But Kehelis didn't, apparently didn't buy that. Because if that were true, you wouldn't need a sefer Kehelis. Kehelis had a different approach. Kehelis held that you have to go through all the powerful emotions of the psyche, and you have to analyze them, and then, and only through a careful analysis of all your emotions and a true understanding, and where the mind really sees the emotions and understands them clearly, and then the conclusion of my Yisroel Adam b'chol amolo sheyamal tachas Hashemesh comes forth, you see, then, basically, and only then, can the individual truly arrive at the conclusion of Sof Davar Kol Nishmas Olekim Yerovitz Mitzvos HaShemar Kizek Kol Adam. But without an analysis, you're not going to be able to do it. That's what would seem clear from Kehelis. Otherwise, there's no value in it. You understand? So we find ourselves in a very strange state that on the one hand, you find that the Torah, Memanafshach, if you're going to tell me that Kehelis is not important, like some philosophers thought, you know, just like let the charmer charm you, so then we don't need it. So they should have been going as the sefer. What do you have to have a problematic sefer? That it would appear on the surface, many statements are not to the meanness. I'll explain to you why that is, by the way. The reason why it is that way is because when you analyze, and this is something the Rambam has in some of his medical writings somewhere, I don't remember exactly where, but when you analyze a subject, you must analyze the subject fully on its own terms. And you can't analyze one subject and at the same time have conclusions from another subject come into the picture, because that's not a logical analysis. So when you analyze the psyche, and that's really what Kehelis is about. Kehelis is an analysis of the human psyche. When you analyze the psyche, you have to take the subject matter on its own terms. And therefore, you must deal with conclusions that are based only on psychology, not on anything else. And if you're going to take conclusions from philosophy and introduce them into psychology, you can't analyze psychology properly. So psychology has to be analyzed on its own terms. And when you analyze the thing on its own terms, so you're going to find that there are conclusions in psychology that go against philosophical conclusions. But it's impossible to be otherwise. You see, it's impossible to be otherwise. Because otherwise you're not going to be an honest investigator in that particular area. Do you follow what I'm saying? So therefore, that's why Chazal say, the Bikshu Ligno Sefer Kehelis, the Medrash says, Midnei Shedvarv Notim Ledivrei Letzad Minos. But it has to be that way. I'm just going to say, it of necessity has to be that way. Because if you want to analyze a human being, how a human being should live, from the standpoint of his psyche alone, you're going to have to draw conclusions that are just based on those phenomena. If it's just based on those phenomena, it's going to lead you to conclusions that are against philosophical conclusions. But that's because psychology and philosophy are two different subjects. And you can't confuse the two and introduce ideas from one into the other. That's not a true analysis. So a true analysis has to be on the basis of the thing itself.
What do you mean by saying that psychological conclusions can contradict philosophical ones? It's a little bit hard to understand why true conclusions about psychology contradict true conclusions about philosophy. Shouldn't they be?
No. You don't understand something. In other words, conclusions are fine, but analysis, you can't just have conclusions. If you want to analyze something honestly, you can't just come to conclusions. That's not an analysis. So So in the analysis, you have to say, well, according to the psyche, it would seem that this is the life that a person should live, not that life. And then you have to argue these points and go through these points. But if you can't assume what the psyche in its analysis would lead you to assume, then because the Torah says you're not supposed to do that, and you can't entertain that thought, so then there's no analysis. In other words, in an honest investigation of the psyche, you're going to have to try to study the psyche. Now, when you're studying the psyche, and if you're analyzing it honestly, you're going to have various possibilities. Some possibilities in the process of analysis, you're going to have to come to certain points, and those points, you're going to have to say, well, according to this, it would seem that the psyche demands that you live this kind of a life. And you have to present the argument, the pros and the cons.
I understand that, but you're not saying in the final analysis, if you can really go to the depth of the human psyche, you'll have the psychological well-being of man in contradiction to his philosophical one.
Maybe you will. Maybe you will. Why are you so sure it won't be that way? Maybe it is that way. You have to be able to be open to that possibility as well.
I just
want everything to be wonderful. I mean, that's not an analyst.
I understand that. I'm just saying it would just seem an odd thing that God would make man in a way.
Very odd. But the point is, if you're going to say that, so then you're not an analyst. Then you're not, because you're going to say that God made everything wonderful. Okay, then there's nothing to analyze.
But
if you want to analyze things, it means there are problems that would seem to indicate that it's not so wonderful. And if you're not going to be honest and take up those problems, then you're not analyzing. In analyzing something, you have to be willing to be free and to follow the argument to its conclusion. And in the process of the argument, and the conclusion may be, what if the conclusion is that the human psyche has to suffer? That's a possibility. Oh, because you know that God, you know the way God does things. I mean, that's a person that's maybe some kind of a religious fool, but it's not that's not analysis. That's not chachma. Maybe it's not so perfect. Maybe man is made that a certain part of him can't be satisfied. Do you know otherwise? If you know otherwise already, then you're not open for analysis. If you go into the subject with your preconceived notions, then there's no, that's not a fair analysis. Analysis demands that your mind is open and you take each argument based upon what you see and what you understand. And if you do that, in that process, you're going to have to come across possibilities that go against philosophical conclusions. And that's why Kahelis has to, of necessity, be noted with divrei minas. It's because he was an honest investigator. If you study Eve, you'll see many arguments. You'll see arguments that are against the conclusions of the Torah. So if you don't want to analyze them, so then don't. So you have no kashas. That's a person that's not a chacham. He has no kashas. Everything is fine. Everything is hunky-dory. Why does this tzaddik die? It's God knows. That's what the Ramban says. Anyone that says that is mois b'chachma. So you don't have to have a shara gmul, you don't have to have any kind of analysis of anything, everything's fine, God does everything fine, and that's it. That's not a chacham. So, in chachma, you're going to have to encounter things that go against conclusions from other areas. Not possible otherwise. A person thinks he's doing it otherwise, and he's not a fair analyst. That's not fair. Not everybody's an analyst. Not everybody can do that. You have to know whether you're able to do it also. That's what does Ram say? That a person's not allowed to think, even for a moment, an idea that's connected to Torah. But the thing is that a person has to know himself. Not everybody's an investigator. Not everybody's Shlomo HaMelech. But a Shlomo HaMelech, in the process of investigating the human psyche, has to draw on possibilities. And if he's an honest investigator, he has to bring up everything that his mind tells him. And mind tells him things at certain points that are against the Divrei Torah. But he's analyzing the psyche. He has to be honest about it. Yadus is emes, and that's why in Eve as well. There are conclusions there, and there are points there that are against what the Torah says. Of course, otherwise you have no kashas. You can't ask any kashas, you can't do any investigation. But, I mean, again, I mean, a person, I don't want to mislead anybody to think that, you know, that it's easy to be an honest investigator. You have to know your level, you have to know whether you're capable of doing it. Otherwise, a person could become a nin. And that's basically why it was, that's why Chazal said, Bikshu Ligno Sefer Kehela Shedvarv Notun Sad Minos. What does it mean? It means that the nature of man is that every person thinks they're great investigators and great chachamim, and therefore they'll see certain things over here that they'll give them ideas that they didn't have before, and they'll wind up in Minos. So that's why they wanted to put it into Geniza, because they felt it's a wonderful sefer, and Shlomo HaMelech was great, and he was able to come up with the true conclusions. But how do you know somebody else? Somebody else is—he thinks he's a Shlomo HaMelech, but he's really a fool. And he's in his weak mind, he's going to like the Rambam says. Was Western Rambam that he says not everybody's mind is able to investigate a thing of Burya. That's the Rambam says, and therefore one day I'll say Torah is Minashamayim, and the next day it's not Minashamayim, and one day I'll say this way, one day I'll say that way. He says, Klamar, Ram says in the Hilchas of Avikachavim Perk Beis, Halacha Gimel. Klamar, La Yimshech Kolecha Mikem Achar Daito Akzora, Yid Meshem Achshavto Maseges Amos. Okay, not everybody could do it. So, the only problem is, the problem with the fool is that he doesn't know, losing that bit of knowledge that he's a fool, he doesn't have. So he enters into areas which are beyond him, and then he can become he can be notal of tzad minus. And it's very, very difficult for a person to see his own weakness. And that's why, I mean, if you tell somebody, look, I have a great idea, but I don't know if you're ready for it, you'll very seldom find a person that will say, I'm not ready for it, don't tell me.
Rebbe?
Yeah.
So a tzaddik dies, the person says, dynamis.
That's a mistake? You shouldn't be doing that?
I'm afraid you don't understand what I'm talking about.
I guess not. But you're saying, in other words, you said before that a guy should be able to analyze the situation, right?
Now, I didn't say if everybody. I said certain people can do it. You have to be on a certain level where a person can do it. A regular person can't do it. He can't analyze it. So he just says dynamis and he knows it's true. Based upon his Masora and based upon the Kolotera Kula, he knows it's true. But that's not. But for him, it's not to investigate. But for an investigator, has to take on possibilities both ways, different ways. But that's not for everybody.
Okay. Rebbe?
Yeah.
So Shlomo Melech, in pursuing an objective, you know, his analysis of the psyche.
Yeah.
Now he comes to his final conclusions.
Yes.
Is that because he's comparing those to the philosophical framework, or that's within the psychological framework itself?
No, within the psychological.
Uh-huh.
His conclusion is a psychological conclusion. It's not a philosophical one.
Okay, it's not like he came to a conclusion and now he's comparing it up against the philosophical.
No. It's a psychological conclusion. Absolutely psychological.
Okay.
But the conclusion of the psychological, and I think I one time said this, I mean, is it Danny there? No. But I one time said this, and I think I gave a shiur on it, that the conclusion on the psychological is, that's what the conclusion is. You see, sof dovar akol nishma, so akim yirah, ves mitzvos v'shmoket. You see, Chazal are very precise. I mean, the Chazal, you have to be very careful. These are the deepest philosophical ideas are in Chazal. And that's why Chazal included, like the Rambam says in the Shas, they included also Agadas, because they contains the deepest philosophical. You look at the Gemara, how exact the Gemara is. The Gemara says that why they wanted to go and say for Kaelis? Because the beginning and the end is Divrei Torah. What do they mean by that, the beginning and the end? What they mean is as follows. That in the beginning, he says, "My Yisrael Adam Machol Amol Shiyamal Tachas Hashemesh." What it means, it says Tachas Hashemesh, but Kodem Lashemesh. Kodem Lashemesh means the world of Chachma. That he's not analyzing that. In other words, the beginning of the book states, "I am not analyzing what the good is." That's not the purpose of this book. Okay. Because what the good is, there is no question that the good is really Chachmas Hashem. That's Kodem Hashemesh. because Chachma preceded the universe. Okay? So he says he's not analyzing that at all. That, you know, is the philosophical arguments that I presented to you before. He's not touching those. Those... I'm getting killed here, guys. Hello? Are you there?
Just continue. We're here, Rabbi. Continue.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Did you hear like a beep beep?
No, we didn't do that. That was somebody else got just something happened with their connection. I'm not sure what happened.
Okay.
Just continue.
So, once again, let me clarify what Chazal is saying. Chazal is saying, because the beginning is Divrei Torah and the end is Divrei Torah. You have to understand what they mean. So why didn't the beginning and the end was true of itself? Now, what they mean is like this. A book is not good because it has a good beginning and a good end, and in the middle it has all kinds of nonsense and fear. No one's going to... That's nonsensical. Anybody with a brain knows it doesn't make any sense. If a guy had one good thing in the beginning and one good thing in the end, so that's why they weren't going to be safer. What kind of nonsense is that? And in the middle you have all kinds of fear and all kinds of spears and things. I mean, well, what does Chazal say? What Chazal is saying is a very significant idea. They're saying like this. That in the beginning he never says that he's going to analyze what the correct Derech HaChayim is. But he says, Mayisrael Adam B'chalomo Shiyam Al-Tachas HaShemesh, meaning, and the literal meaning, I mean, you don't have to make a drasha Tachas and Kodem. I mean, Chazal is saying that, but it's really the literal meaning of the phrase. Because he's saying everything that a man, all the toil that a man involves himself in, it doesn't mean work, by the way. Work is because, let's say, for instance, you say, okay, so it's not worth it to work for it. Well, let's say I inherit all these ganas and pradesim and all these things that he mentions, so then I'm not in the pasha. Work over here means investment of energy. And anyone that has these things, the luxuries and the pleasures that he describes, only has them because they invest energy in them. That's not a possibility otherwise. You can't have them otherwise, or you wouldn't even know they exist otherwise. But there has to be, in order to have the satisfaction out of those things, there must be a tremendous charge of energy in these things. And if there isn't, it's nothing to you. So the amala over here that he's talking about is not the work necessary to get the money to get these things, like some people think, because then the answer would be very simple. So what about a guy that inherited it? Yeah, but he's talking about the omol of the investment of energy. Investment of energy has many, many forms. It's not possible for a person to have these things without investing tremendous sums of energy. That's the real omol. But, getting back to this point, but what they're saying is, he's saying, Shiyam al-Tachas HaShemesh, he means, In the real world, what the world calls the real world, okay, what an answer is, the real world, that's Tachas HaShemesh, the world of business, the world of the world of where a person finds his objectives, his success in life, his all the things that the world talks about. Today's world, any world, in any age, in any time, it's the same exact thing. What the world calls the real world, that's Tachas HaShemesh. You see. And that's what the reference is, Tachas HaShemesh. But the Chazal show you that he used a very careful phrase, Tachas HaShemesh, to show you, to imply that this mundane world, but the world that is the underpinnings of this world, which is the world of ideas and Chachma that's behind all this existence that we see, this superficial existence that we encounter, that world is, he's not talking about that. He's not to say, because that's Torah. That's the Torah already has shown, that insofar as a person partakes of pleasure, he loses that world of Kodem HaShemesh. That subject has been adequately dealt with in the Torah, and he's not going to, that's not his thing. He's not telling you, he's not going to decide now what is the correct lifestyle. That's not his thing. But his thing is, what are those emotions, and how do they work? And can we understand them? And can we analyze them? And in doing so, when we come to a conclusion that would lead us to no answer, like let's say Socrates, let the charmer charm you, that's it, there's no answer. Or when we come to a conclusion that on the contrary, that man as a psychological being can really somehow or other, satisfy a psyche. I mean, well, you have to study the nature of the psyche, you see. So that's why Chazal say that they weren't going as the safer, because the safer is not misleading in that way. The sefer is extremely valuable, because any chachma, we hold chachma is the greatest thing in the world. And chachma shlomo is the chachma mikol adam, it's the greatest importance. What could be more important than a person understanding your psyche? Nothing, almost. It's like the Ibn Ezra says, if a person doesn't understand gufo, and he doesn't understand nafsho, chachma smalo. The Ibn Ezra says in Parshas Kisisa. You don't understand your psyche, he says, so what good is everything? So this is the greatest importance. There's no question of it. But there's a difference between a thing being very, very important and between a thing being a subject matter of which way to go. So Chazal says that when he starts off on the correct foot. He's telling people that he's not engaging in a study to determine what's the right way to live. That already the Torah has shown what the right way to live is. But he's just trying to study the emotions in order to understand the emotions, in order to see whether or not the psyche of man is fit. What could man do? Can man do anything? Well, we're stuck. I mean, this is the greatest life, but what do we do? You know what I mean? Okay, a little bit we could do. Like, that's true. Let the charmer charm you. I mean, we also hold that's true. You know, you listen to the Torah, it is a powerful force. But the question is there anything beyond that? Do we just blind and make ourselves blind to our psychological nature? Or do we really try to understand those forces in our psychological nature that really are the determinants for most of human existence on this planet? For 99.999% of all the people that live today and that ever lived in the past and that will live in the future. Do we try to understand the forces, those powerful forces, or do we just say, that's it? No reason to understand them. So Chazal say that in the beginning he's telling you that I'm not telling you what the good life is, that we know already. But I'm just trying to analyze these powerful forces in man that drive him into a certain kind of a lifestyle that we see every human being is striving for. Okay, so it must be a very powerful force. These are dynamic forces here. Okay, but Chazal said, but he never intimated that he's going to, that his study, his quest for knowledge over here, his investigation is on what to do. That the Torah already made clear. So Chazal said, so that's okay. And then they say, and also his conclusion. Because if he would come to a conclusion that would not be something that people could tolerate, let's say, for instance, he come to a conclusion that would be completely impossible in a certain way. It wouldn't be, in other words, the conclusions of the psyche would be in contradiction to the conclusions of the Torah, which is possible, and you could still say that the Torah is right, because like Chazal say, he's not telling you what's right. What's right, we know. But let's say the conclusions would be that that's it. There's no exit. So if that's the conclusion, that's the conclusion. Okay, but it turns out his conclusion is not completely that way. His conclusion is partially that way. He says, "Sof davar kol nishma, es elokim yirav et mitzvos of shmo ki zeh kol ha'odom," means to say that the psyche, in its real thrust, is going to be frustrated, and that you can't do anything about. But nevertheless, if you study the psyche and understand it, you'll be able to have a good existence in terms of, you'll come to the conclusion that this is it. You might not be happy about that. The psyche's not going to be happy with that conclusion necessarily, but it is a conclusion that an individual who arrives at that conclusion will be able to have a very good life. Okay? You have to understand the ideas of it. But kizek kol ha'adam means that the psyche can come to a conclusion about this whole thing, that this is kol ha'adam. So while the gamas ha'olam nasan belibam takes on an essential thing, which is going to lead to total frustration, but the human psyche is such that it's capable of over, uh, it's, mind on top of the whole thing and substituting a different kol ha'adam, which is a certain kind of a state of existence which is enjoyable and which is good, but not the good that the psyche itself is intrinsically trying for. That is not possible. So Chazal say that since the conclusion is a favorable one, so therefore it's something which the Hamona will not be destroyed by. You see, it will not be destroyed by that. But nevertheless, so even though in the process various possibilities are mentioned, but the conclusion is a good one, and therefore it was admitted into the Kisvei Kodesh. Okay? All right. So, in other words, I don't know if you know exactly what I mean, but I'll try to come back to that later, at a later time. I think I one time gave a shiur on that whole idea, but if it's not clear, I'll be glad to go over it again. It's a kind of a flip that he comes to, a kind of an ingenious conclusion, but it's something that you have to go through a little bit in the sefer to understand, you know, how he comes to that conclusion and what the conclusion is. But basically, what Chazal was concerned with is that the conclusion is a favorable one. If it were not a favorable conclusion, then they would have taken it out. For instance, if it was Socrates' conclusion is you can't do anything about it, just let the charmer charm you, they wouldn't have admitted such a sefer. Why? Because you have that already in the Torah, and there's no reason for this. It's an analysis of Chachma, it's tremendous Chachma, very good, it's wonderful, it's extremely important, but the fact is that this is not a sefer for Kisvei Kodesh. Not for Kisvei Kodesh. Not everything's Kisvei Kodesh. You see, like the Ramban mentions, that Bereshis really is not for everybody. So it's Dvarim Stumim. Dvarim Stumim is you don't make Kisvei Kodesh, you don't make open Svarim out of these things. You keep it concealed, certain Chachamim know it, and others that don't know it, they go on with their lives. And they do the best, they live the best they can. So what is Kisvei Kodesh, what is not Kisvei Kodesh, has its own considerations. But Chazal say, the fact is he did come to a good conclusion. The investigation turned on a good conclusion. The conclusion is not precisely what you would think, what the psyche would want, but the psyche is of such a nature that it can somehow or other take its original goal and recast it through the mind in a way that it has a certain kind of satisfaction. Not exactly the original thing, but it does. So therefore, the conclusion is a valid one, and therefore the Chazal said that the Sefer was admitted into Kisvei Kodesh. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but maybe I'll get back to it a little bit again in the future. But that's the basic thing. But I see that I didn't realize it takes so long. But the truth of the matter is these are very important points, very important things. So, I'm not upset that it takes long. But we'll have to leave with a question. So the question we're leaving with is as follows. That, on the contrary, since the conclusion is really a good one, not only is it a good one, but it would seem like, according to the Ibn Ezra, in Kisiso, Vayitein al Moshe, so the Ibn Ezra says that if you don't have knowledge of psychology, he says, so chachmas malo, that there's no, what kind of chachma can you have? So knowledge of psychology, without the Ibn Ezra, it would be quite clear, especially when they came to a good conclusion. So now that he came to a good conclusion, like Chazal say, so what could be more important than that? Okay, that should be the most important thing, to understand our emotions, not just to understand the philosophy, but to understand our emotions in order that we can channel more properly through knowledge. We can, if there is a method of analysis of the emotions, so what could be of greater importance? It's like Socrates' students asked him, these ideas are great, but then how do we stay in line with these ideas? So if all you could say is let the charmer charm you, I mean, in other words, just keep listening to the ideas and hope that they're going to take hold of you, which is true, by the way, which is really what the Torah says. That really is true. That idea is correct. That the more the person listens to the true ideas, it does have a tremendous effect on him. But again, he's not battling the battle directly. Because he does not understand the psychological forces, and it's an indirect method, which can work and does work, but there is a gap there. There is a vacuum. There is something missing. Okay? So if Shlomo HaMelech can supply us with that missing factor, those missing elements, so what could be of greater importance? And the question, therefore, is, did he or did he not? Now, Chazal seemed to say he did. That's why they admitted to Kisei Kodesh. So the question is, if he did, and if in fact this is such important knowledge which gives us a Derech HaChayim, and obviously the whole Sefer Kehelis is about a Derech HaChayim, what else is the Sefer? Ma'isun Lona B'chol HaMosh Yamot Achaz HaShemesh is an analysis of where a person should invest his energies and how he can improve through knowledge his Derech HaChayim. That being the case, there is one question that we must ask. What are Chazal debating whether this should be here, it should not be here? I mean, all these questions. Why didn't the Torah give it to us? Why isn't it in the Torah? I mean, it's so important. Where do you find a dos that has a sefer that's the most valuable thing in order to get people to keep the dos? And yet, we're considering whether it should be, it shouldn't be. Not only that, it definitely wasn't given at Sinai. So it means to say that a person is going to have to wait along until Kehelis comes along in order to get this knowledge. If it's so important in terms of Derech HaChayim, why wasn't it given at Sinai? And if you're going to say that it, see, you can't ask that question about Divrei Nevi'im, because Divrei Nevi'im is an elaboration of the themes given at Sinai. The themes were all given at Sinai, but the Navi elaborates, and then the Navi in different Doros, he saw the different weaknesses, so the Navi addressed the situation and brought the people back to the correct idea and showed them this is the correct idea and you're making a mistake because of this and that, and the Navi endorsed and then showed the people the correct way. So that we understand, but that was given at Sinai already. But here we're confronted with a strange phenomenon, a phenomenon where you have a sefer that is of the utmost importance because it deals with the Derech HaChayim, and yet it wasn't given at Sinai, which would seem it should have been. And not only that, but you see the Chacham were debating as to whether to include it in Kisei Kodesh altogether. So what kind of a situation is that? I mean, what kind of a situation is that? And the only reason they concluded, because they decided, because the first pasuk and last pasuk is not a danger. But if they would have decided otherwise, it would have been gonesh. You see, some wanted to be gonesh. So how can you be gonesh such a thing? Doesn't make any sense. If it's of such significance and so important in helping us on the right path, how could you have such a question? And why wasn't it given at Sinai? Okay, that's the basic question of that's the most basic question that you can ask about Sefer Kehelis. Okay, all right. I think we'll stop here. Continue next week. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
One quick question.
Yeah, ask me a question now. If you have any questions up to this point, ask me now, because let's get the questions out of the way and be able to continue. Yeah.
You said charming the charmer is also an effective way, although it's indirect. Is that, so given that's true, does it mean to say that that it's just, you know, Shlomo HaMelech's method is just a more effective way of battling it, or is it goes beyond that?
It's a different way.
I mean, is it necessary because it's just a more effective way, or is it something more than that?
Well, it would seem, you know, see, Shlomo HaMelech's way does not preclude the other way. Let me make this clear. See, people have a hard time understanding things because they always see things, it's either this or that. They fail to get the whole picture. But let me make this quite clear, because I have that problem too. Because when I'm trying to explain one thing, so I try to explain one side very clearly. When I explain the one side very clearly, so people think the other side is gone. But it's not true. I mean, let me just get the perspective over here. The method of the Torah is 100% effective. That is the method that the Torah gives us. And that method is the method which is the idea that we have to... What does the Pasuk say? By the Melech. The Ha'isim of Akarva Kol Yimei Chayav L'man Yomad L'Yiras Hashem L'Akav and L'Lishmar... I don't remember the end of the pasuk, but the Lishma Komitzvot, because of the pasuk says that what is the method? The Torah gave the method. The method is to learn Torah. When you learn Torah, that has an effect on you, and that's the mitzvah samelach. So you see that method is 100%. There's no question about that. That is the method of Torah. But what Shlomo HaMelech is showing you is that there is also another method. And this other method, obviously, is very helpful. But the question is, why wasn't that method given at Sinai? And the question is, and how can we have a question, if it's so important, and it is of extreme significance, extremely important, to have knowledge of a person's psyche and derech ha'chaim, and that's also my yisloanam cholamah shi'amal tachas ha'shemesh, is to teach a person that he should really self-dover kol nishma. That's the whole objective of the Sefer. So obviously, if you're going to say the Sefer is true and correct, and that no one doubts, so therefore, the end conclusion is that the Lakim Yeravas and Sosa Shmark is Ekol Adam. Isn't that a wonderful conclusion? That means that if you study this, this is what you're going to conclude. So isn't that a great thing to have? So how could you even think about why wasn't it given at Sinai? Let me ask simply, why wasn't it given at Sinai? That's the question. And how could you think about being done as a Sefer? Mamanashach, is it good or is it no good? If it's good, it has to be very important. If it's important, then we need it. And if it's not important, we don't need it. But no one says it's not important. On the contrary, they say it's very important. And the conclusion is a very good one. So, therefore, the question is, why was it not given at Sinai? And how do you have a situation where we sit and debate over something which is such an important thing, and we're debating whether to put it in Gnez or not? And what kind of a thing is that? Is the whole idea sound preposterous? That is the question. Is it good or is it no good? If it's good, then we need it. No, then we need it. It should have been given at Sinai. And if we don't need it, so then what's the whole purpose of it? Okay? Yep. That's where we're at. That's the point that we're stopping at. Okay?
Another question, then.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the Rambam says that a person can't have false ideas. How does a person analyze honestly if they can't have those false ideas also?
The answer to that question is that only a person that is on a certain level can analyze things in the proper manner. A person who is not on the level is in great danger and is not allowed to do it. And a person who's on the level knows the answer to this question and he knows why he's not included in that thing. And if a person doesn't know, then he's not on the level, he should analyze. That's the most I'll say about it. There are two different types of analysis. There's an analysis of a real chacham, which he's not in danger of that, and then there's an analysis of an average person who can fall into that danger. If the person doesn't know the answer, then the person is not on the level. The person, then he's not allowed to, the Rambam says, the person is not allowed to have a false idea for one moment in his mind. That's the Losa Surach Relevavchon Acharei Einechem. Okay? Nevertheless, at the same time, the Torah holds that it's possible for a person to investigate honestly all the possibilities. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. Okay? But the answer to that question, the person who knows the answer to that question knows that he can do it. And the person who does know the answer is obviously not allowed to do it. For instance, you see, the Rambam was the most honest investigator, and he investigates all the philosophical possibilities. And the same Rambam writes that it's absolutely utter to have for a moment in your mind any wrong idea. Yeah, but the Rambam investigates all the possibilities honestly. As a matter of fact, he criticizes those, the Mitzkalmen, because they just try to impose a religious view, and because of that, he says they ruined everything because they gave false answers, and people see these answers are false, and it's no good. Better they shouldn't say anything. Better say you don't know. So the only investigation is an honest investigation. But it's not, the honest investigator is not in violation of Elos Surach Relevavchon Vachareinechem. But he knows why. But if the person doesn't know why, he absolutely is not allowed to investigate. Okay.
Rabbi, did you want to clarify the switch, the changeover from Nasan Asalom Belibo to Zekol Adam?
Excuse me?
Like a person makes, you know, that the move that Shlomo makes there, that you could substitute from the...
I didn't clarify that.
What?
I didn't clarify it.
You said you would come back to it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll have to come back to it after we go more into the subject matter. You know what I mean? Then you'll be able to see exactly what I mean. So you'll have to hold that one until we go further into the subject matter itself, because that'll emerge. That idea will emerge from understanding the subject matter. Then you'll see exactly what he says.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Eddie.
I don't care about that.